Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Domestic football returns with five top flight games this afternoon. Celtic host Motherwell as fans plan a day of action. Derek Adams kicks off his Ross County comeback against Kilmarnock. Craig Levein returns to Tynecastle with St Johnston. St Mirren host Livingston, and it's Dundee against Hibs as well. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio today is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
It is a day of homecoming. Celtic back at their ground 2 weeks after taking six goals off Aberdeen. Craig Levein, Tynecastle is a spiritual home, and he's back after 5 years, but this time he's the manager of St Johnstone. And Derek Adams returns to Dingwall to manage Ross County 9 years after he left for English football. On the other hand, there are teams who have to spoil the party. Motherwell badly need a result. They've had 1 point out of the last 27. Hearts have to beat Craig Levein because Stephen Naismith, the Hearts manager, is still under pressure. And Derek McInnes wants a win on the road at Dingwall because, fair play to him, he's got Kilmarnock moving in a positive direction in the Premiership. Great to be back, looking a bit lively as well.
It's a great weekend ahead, you know, five top flight fixtures ahead this afternoon, and that's just before a big clash tomorrow where 11 players in red will be trying the hardest against Rangers. And also the Scottish Cup, what a weekend it is. Some great fixtures in that Scottish Cup card as well.
Yeah, this is the hardest part of the day for me because the lads have covered every single aspect of this afternoon. So I'll say it's cold out there, but hopefully the football can warm everybody up with the excitement.
There we go. Weather report from Gordon DL. Maybe we should switch up the order next week and you can... Do you want to go first? Do you want to do the Hugh Keevans role next week?
Yeah, by the time I get to me, I have nothing to say. I've gone.
You can talk about the Scottish Cup. Good games on the go.
Yeah, the boys forgot about that. The Scottish Cup.
I'm glad you were listening to me. I said great fixtures in that Scottish Cup. That's why you're last. I don't listen.
He was also just standing there sniggering as well while you were talking as well. Anyway, lots of games happening. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We will bring you all the action. Five top flight games on the return to domestic action. Looking forward to those. Of course, a lot of Scottish Cup games as well. There was a big Scottish Cup game last night as well. Tomorrow, huge match as well. Aberdeen against Rangers. I'm sure there's a few talking points we can get into on that in a bit, but let's not hang about. Let's go around the grounds and get the team news, starting with Celtic against Motherwell. David Friel is there for us.
Yeah, Andrew, good to be back. And as you mentioned, Dale, it's been a lively start to the day off the pitch here. The Green Brigade, they remain locked out of Celtic Park officially, but they are having their day of action. We don't know what that entails in full, but they were on the Celtic way around about 1:15 to welcome the team at the stadium, and it was eventful. There was chants, there was drums, there was flares, some pyrotechnics, and even boos for Sir Rod Stewart, the celebrity Celtic fan. He's been very vocal in his criticism of the supporters group. There wasn't a lot of love lost either way. There was no renditions of "Have I Told You Late That I Love You" or anything like that. Rod Stewart got booed, he then gave a little bit back, so we'll see where that goes in the coming days. Brendan Rodgers and the players obviously got a good reception, and I'm sure the Celtic manager is focused on what happens on the pitch today, not off it. It's a big day for Celtic. Premiership is back and they've got a chance to go 11 points clear at the top of the table with Rangers playing Aberdeen tomorrow. It's good news and bad news for Celtic fans in terms of the team lineup. Kyogo Furuhashi, obviously that horrible head knock against Aberdeen 2 weeks ago, he has recovered and he leads the line today. And there's also a start for Lewis Palma, who has been passed fit to play despite only returning from Honduras duty yesterday. But the one below is Alistair Johnson, who was also late back from international duty with Canada, is only on the bench. So Tony Ralston comes in to replace him at right back, and the only change from that 6-0 win over Aberdeen 2 weeks ago. So Celtic going to line up Joe Hart in goals, Back four of Tony Ralston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. Midfield three of Matt O'Reilly, Callum McGregor and Odin Thiago-Holm, with Yang Hyun-Jun, Kyogo and Louis Palmer up front. The Celtic subs are Bain, Phillips, Burnaby, Alistair Johnson, Turnbull, Bernardo, Mikey Johnson, Oh, and the first sighting of Marco Tilio, the summer signing from Melbourne City. So a big day for Celtic, as for Motherwell, it's always a big day for them. They're on a horrendous run of results, 9 games without a win, and this is probably the last place they want to be today. As I said, they haven't won in 9, they've only actually drawn 2 of those, so they've only taken 2 points out of the last 27 available. Obviously not good enough, but they have done okay against Celtic. Recently Celtic needed an injury time winner from Matt O'Reilly to get 3 points at Fir Park in September. We always remember how dramatic that was. And Motherwell also held Celtic to a draw here last season when Kevin Van Veen scored for the Steelmen. They would love to have him back. They might get him back in January, but for now Stuart Kettlewell will have to manage with what he has. But I'm sure he will be pointing to those games they won in September and back in April and May as something, you know, as hope that he can maybe take something today. But I think everybody will realise it's going to be very, very tough for Motherwell. He's made 2 changes from the defeat to Hearts 2 weeks ago. Theo Bear and Connor Wilkinson drop out. Bevis Mugabe and Brody Spencer are in. Looks like a 3-5-1-1 formation for Motherwell. Liam Kelly in goals, back three of Mugabe, Dan Casey and Shane Blaney. Stephen O'Donnell, Callum Slattery, Callum Butcher, Harry Payton and Brody Spencer across the middle, with Blair Spittle up supporting Mika Biret. Subs for Motherwell are Oxbury, Gent, Obika, Bear, Dravkovsky, Shaw, Luca Ross, Max Ross and Wilkinson. The referee at Celtic Park is Stephen McLean and the VAR is David Dickinson.
Yeah, a busy day at Celtic Park. If we start with the football, Mark Wilson, it will be a huge bonus for Celtic fans that Louis Palmer is past fit, especially after his performance against Aberdeen last time out. I think he also got an assist when he was away on international duty as well. There's also a place on the bench for Marco Tilio, yeah, who hasn't really been spotted at all since he joined in the summer.
Yeah, well, the Celtic fans will enjoy that if he gets any game time, because I think everyone was starting to wonder where he was. But definitely with Palmer, certainly came into his own over the last couple of weeks. Looks an outstanding signing. Plenty of creativity, so for him to be past fit is definitely a bonus, because he was outstanding against Aberdeen. And Kyogo as well, you know, the last we saw Kyogo, he got that nasty knock from Rubizic, and we wondered how, you know, that would affect him. But he's back in the side. Interested to see Yang again, because I think in the first 45 minutes against Aberdeen he gets his goal and he played very well, and he needs more of those performances to nail down that place in the right hand side. So plenty of attacking intent there. Home back in again. I think he needs to do a wee bit more. You know, he's been in and out the team, but when he's in, he needs to do more to really be a standout. So fancy Celtic today. You look at that Motherwell side, he went a wee bit more defensive as well, and that was a couple of complaints for the Motherwell fans.
He's gone early today anyway, the big brave decision. A fancy Celtic, Motherwell not a winning 9, struggling down there in 8th, lost 21 goals. I don't think Motherwell were going with a lot of confidence, but you always can get a shock. I can't see it right enough, but it's a big day for Stuart Kettlewell, because he can't afford to come out there with an Aberdeen 6-0, and that the Celtic are capable of certainly dishing that out, because he's got a massive game against Dundee next week.
They have to set their sights higher than damage limitation. You know, there's an obligation there to try and get more points. And on their last 2 visits to Celtic Park, the scoreline has been much tighter than you would have thought, but it's indicative of how big a player Louis Palmer has become for Celtic, that you come off the plane from Honduras on Friday and you're in on Saturday. Shows what Brendan Rodgers thinks about him.
Off the pitch, there has been a day of action. The Green Brigade and other supporters as well outside the stadium. Of course, the Green Brigade are currently locked out of Celtic Park. The Celtic players and manager got a good reception from them when they went in. There was maybe a less welcoming reception from other people going into Celtic Park. How important is it that, you know, that is a completely separate issue from on the pitch at the moment for Celtic?
This is a running sore for the club, and the directors, Peter Lobel, the chairman, they have to sort this out in a conclusive fashion. They either end the Green Brigade's section of Celtic Park, or they readmit them in the hope that their behaviour is better. But Brendan Rodgers was unequivocal yesterday when he spoke at his press conference. If you can't behave, you can't get in. And, you know, much will be made of Rod Stewart going in and the abuse that he took. And if he gave them some back, When I was brought up as a kid in Partick, I was told if somebody hits you, you hit them back.
Well, plenty more build up to come at Celtic Park. Let's take a look around the other top flight grounds. Let's go to the Global Energy Stadium, shall we? Because it's Derek Adams' first game in charge of his return at Ross County. Dave Galloway is there.
Yeah, looking forward to what's been known as the Wimpy Derby, Andrew, as a new era begins for Ross County. Well, sort of. Derek Adams began his third stint as Staggies manager 5 days ago after Malky Mackay was shown the door. So obviously knows the club better than most. Can he guide his team to the first win in 10 attempts as they try and claw their way up the table? Kilmarnock have made the 200 plus mile journey up here, still seeking to find a solution to their away day woes that have pestered them since their top flight return. They've not won on the road since beating Albion Rovers in the League Cup way back in July. Boss Terry McInnes wants to see more bravado from Killy this afternoon. Be interesting to see if he gets it. Looking at the teams, Ross County, a couple of changes for them. It's James Brown and Josh Sims in for Victor Luturi and Jordan White. Ross Laidlaw in goals. A back three of Will Nightingale, Jack Baldwin and Ryan Leek. In midfield, Connor Randall, James Brown, Scott Allardyce and Ben Purrington, with Josh Sims playing off Simon Murray and Jan Danda in attack. Looking at the subs for the Staggies, it's Munro, Turner, Sheaf, Luturi, Harmon, Samuel, White, Smith and Reid. Couple of changes also for Killy. It's Rory McKenzie and Matty Kennedy replacing Brad Lyons and Liam Polworth. Will Dennis in goals for the visitors today. At the back, Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo and Stuart Finlay. Across the middle, Danny Armstrong, Rory McKenzie, Liam Donnelly and Robbie Dees, with David Watson and Matty Kennedy supporting Marley Watkins in attack. The subs for Kilmarnock, O'Hara, Sanders, Idaba, Polworth, Murray, Brown, Warnock, Dallas and Vassell. Your match referee today here at the Global Energy Stadium is Colin Stephen, and in VAR duties, the one and only Willie Collum.
Yeah, a big day for Derek Adams and for Ross County as well. When you look at it, St Johnstone have installed a new manager in Craig Levein. They've got 4 points from his first two matches. You wonder whether that was maybe part of the thought process from Roy McGregor at Ross County, seeing the turnaround at St Johnstone and thinking that he maybe needed to make a move, and he'll be hoping that it can kick off this weekend.
Well, Derek McInnes, the Kilmarnock manager, was highly vocal on the subject of Malky Mackay losing his job at Dingwall. He felt it was the wrong decision taken by Roy McGregor, and he felt that Malky was basically too good to be let go. But what's done is done, and now it's Derek Adams' responsibility. He's been a very good manager for Ross County in the past. You don't last 9 years in management down south unless you have something to offer, and he's done his job in the lower leagues there, but this is our top league, so he has to hit the ground running with Ross County. They avoided relegation by a whisker last season. They need to get out of there, and I'm sure Derek McInnes believes that he is the man who Derek Adams believes that he's the man who can take them to a higher position.
Well, speaking of Craig Levein, he is in charge of his third game at St Johnstone away at his old club, Hearts, at Tynecastle. Michelle Evans is there for us.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andrew. As you said, it is his big return to Tynecastle today, the club that he's got a 25-year affinity with, and also the club where, as we all know, he pretty much ran the entire show at one point. I think he was the director of football and the first team manager. At his new role at St Johnstone, he's only got one role for the moment, and that's to manage the club and save them from the dreaded drop, get them climbing up the table. As you said, he said a really good start with that. 4 points in his first two games, lifting the Perth side off the bottom of the table with their last outing, a 1-0 win over Ross County, which ironically cost Malky Mackay his job. He'll be looking for that run of form to continue, although hopefully not Stephen Naismith getting the sack, against a player who he brought here during his time managing the club. However, he knows that his Saints are up against it. They're currently sitting third bottom and are up against a Hearts side gunning for third spot. There's no doubt the jury's still out on Stephen Naismith and his time here at the Hearts helm, but the Jambos fans will undoubtedly be concentrating on the fact that their talisman striker and captain Lawrence Shankland not only scored a double in the last outing, a win against Motherwell, he also scored, as we all know, for his country in Scotland's 2-2 draw with Georgia in the recent Euro qualifiers, and they will be hoping that he'll have taken a massive amount of confidence from that in today's fixture. So the big question is, who's going to come out on top here in the battle between master and pupil? I think it could be a very interesting 90 minutes. So have a look at the teams who they're going to send out to secure the valuable points. Hearts have made just one change from that win against Motherwell, and it sees Callum Neuenhoff out and George Grant in. So they're lining up in a 3-4-1-2 with Xander Clark in goal, a back three, Frankie Kent, Stephen Kingsley, Kai Rowles. In the midfield, Benny Banningame, George Grant, Alan Forrest and Alex Cochran, with Alexander Lowry supporting Lawrence Shankland and Liam Boyce up front. On the bench, we've got McGovern, Herring, Neuenhoff, Oda, Devlin, Sibic, Denham, Tagawa and Vargas. St Johnstone make three changes from that 1-0 win against Ross County. Interestingly, goal scorer Graham Carey is one of them. James Brown and Nicky Clark also drop out, with Maxime Kusharavi and Dara Costello and goal scorer Stevie May coming back in. So they also line up, matching them up for a 3-4-1-2. They've got Dimitir Mitov in goal, with a back three of Andy Considine, Ryan McGowan and Liam Gordon. Across the midfield, Dara Costello, Maxime Kusharavi, Luke Robinson, Daniel Phillips, with Matthew Smith supporting Chris Kane and Stevie May up front. On the bench, you've got Richards, Gallagher, Jayasime, Jepcott, Olufunwa, Sprangler, Ballantyne, Cook and Frank Zick. And your referee today is John Beaton.
Yes, another big game at Dens Park. Roger Hanna is there for Dundee against Hibs.
Well, it's actually the Scott Foam Stadium now, Andrew, they tell you as you come in the door, but it is a big game for both sides. And you look at Dundee, Tony Dockard is newly promoted. Dundee, the return after the international break in really good nick. Their only unhappiness comes from those two VAR calls that the SFA admit have gone against them in recent weeks. Two of only three incorrect VAR calls so far this season, according to the Hampden bosses. But as Daz will tell you, two out of three ain't bad. Now, you take out two defeats to the Old Firm for Dundee, and the last eight games, other than that, I've seen four wins and four draws. And the last three of those, back-to-back wins against Livy and that four-goal rout of St Mirren, all without conceding. Simply the best form they've shown in the top flight for years. They've got Lyle Cameron scoring and shining for Scotland under-21s. Amadou Bakayoko is back after playing in a World Cup qualifier for Sierra Leone against Mo Salah in Egypt. They dug out a 0-0 draw with Hibs at Easter Road at the end of September, and they kick off in fifth place, 2 places and 2 points above Hibs with a game in hand. By contrast, Hibs 1-0 win at home to Killy before the break ended an 8-game search for a win under Nick Montgomery. We have all seen those runs before, of course, that's life. But the return to goal-scoring form of Josh Campbell, a major boost. Also the fact that Martin Boyle is back unscathed, former Dundee winger, back from international duty with Australia. He starts today. So too does Jair Tavares. He spoke emotionally this week about his frustration under former boss Lee Johnson. His message to Montgomery was simple: don't forget to remember me. And the boss has come back and told him, you're all that matters to me. So Tavares does start today. Five of the next six for Hibs, though, on the road, starting today. That's the wonder of your Premiership fixture schedule, of course, Andrew. So I'll get to the teams now. Dundee unchanged from the 4-0 win over St Mirren. Trevor Carson in goal. Back three, Antonio Portales, Joe Shaughnessy and Ricky Lamy. Across the middle, Jordan McGee, Lyle Cameron, Malachi Boateng, Luke McCown and Owen Beck. And up top, Zach Rodden with Amadou Bakayoko. In the bench, Legsdens, Kerr, Tiffany, Robinson, Riley, Robertson, Howley, Donnelly and Silla. As for Hibs, unchanged from that 1-0 win against Killy a couple of weeks ago. David Marshall in goals, a back four, Lewis Miller, Will Fish, Rocky Bashiri and Jordan Obita. Just in front, Dylan Levitt and Joe Newell. Then Martin Boyle, Josh Campbell and Jair Tavares behind lone front man Dylan Venter. On the bench, Wallacott, Hanlon and Yuan, Jego, Doidge and Hardbottle, Molotnikov, Whittaker and Landers, the referee Don Robertson, the VAR Alan Muir, and as Daz says, Andrew, it is cold. Typical East Coast weather. At the minute we're bathed in sunshine, but I'm told it's going to get very, very cold. Please don't let the sun go down on me.
Magnificent, Roger. Brilliant.
For those that maybe don't get the reference, if you listen during the week, an old article where Gordon DL was asked his 10 favourite songs.
Many did again.
How many
seven.
Was that, Roger?
Seven, I think.
Seven. Well
there
done,
we go.
Roger.
That is fantastic. Well, did you enjoy that, Gordon?
I loved that. Brilliant. Man of the day already for me. That's super.
One of the team referred to Gordon as Tony Blackwell, but I won't mention who it was.
sensational work. Yeah, that was brilliant. Your top 10 songs, what was it, 1993?
Apparently, it's nothing you do.
It just so happens that every single one of the songs during the week you said, oh, yeah, I do like that one. So it seems
Andrew, I'd probably like your top 10. I'm a music man. Well, forgot that song. I could have put that in.
Right, okay, let's go to the Smyzer Stadium for the final of the five top flight games, St Mirren against Livingston. Lindsay Heron is there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Andrew. Beautiful day here in Paisley, nice and sunny. And St Mirren will be hoping that they can get back to winning ways after that shocking 4-0 defeat to Dundee just before the international break. Not quite in as bad a sort of run of form as Livingston, mind you, who've lost their last five in a row, and that's taken them to the bottom of the Premiership. That's the worst top flight run they've been on for 16 years. So St Mirren have got the upper hand in this fixture over the last sort of couple of seasons or so. They haven't lost in the last 11 meetings, and they've won five of them. And the one thing about St Mirren here is that they score goals. They've got 11 on home soil, and that's the third best in the country behind the Old Firm. But the big talking point here for the local fans is that Jonah Ayunga is back, out since January, of course, with that terrible knee injury. Played a bounce game during the week, and Stephen Robinson's wasted no time in putting him straight back into the starting lineup to partner Mika Mandron up front. So a potent strike force for the buddies, that's for sure. So let's go with their team then. Mark O'Hara's also back, actually, after missing the 4-0 game against Dundee. So it's Hemming in goals, a back four of Fraser, Gogic, Taylor and Tanzer, Boyd, Munce, O'Hara, Kilty and McMenamin, and Oyunga and Mandron up front. The subs for St Mirren are Uminski, Bolton, Dunn, Small, Lennon, Flynn, Jemison, Grieve and Namani. Looking at Davy Martindale's side, they're obviously desperate to try and get back to winning ways after that terrible run, as I talked about. Shamal George in goal for them, and they're usually sort of 4-3-1-2 formation. Penrice, Devlin, Kelly and Nottingham at the back. Jason Holt, Pittman and Nubley, with Andy Shinney just in front, Bruce Anderson and Guthrie up top. On the bench for Libby, Parks, Kelly, Brandon, Welsh, Hayes, Bradley, Sangari, DeLucas, Lloyd McGoldrick and Hamilton. Our referee today is David Monroe, and on the VAR is the full-time VAR himself, Greg Aitken.
Well, that is the build-up to all of today's top flight matches. Plenty more of that to come. And after the break, we'll bring in all the guys to take a look at the week's biggest talking points.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just over half an hour to go until the 3 o'clock kickoffs around the grounds in Scotland. Plenty of top flight fixtures, some Scottish Cup games in there as well. So we'll continue the build up to those matches shortly. But this is the point in the show where we take a look at the week's biggest talking points. Yes, there was the international break, so there was plenty of chat about Scotland. I think we have sort of covered all that, haven't we? So it's maybe time to turn the attentions to domestic football. Plenty of people will be delighted that it is returning, and just first of all, plenty of good action hopefully to come today, Hugh.
Well, and tomorrow, you know,
of course.
Today we're guaranteed big stories because, you know, Celtic can go 11 points clear. Can Livy get off the bottom of the table? Is this the season where Livy don't survive? From top to bottom, there are stories everywhere. And then tomorrow, of course, the debate of the week has been, do Aberdeen try harder against Rangers than they do against Celtic? My old friend Chris Boyd, I think, should get a bonus from Sky Television because he'll have increased the television audience tomorrow for that game, as he puts his theory on trial, and that is that he believes Aberdeen do try harder against Rangers than they do Celtic. I'll go back to the last meeting of the two clubs, Andrew, at Ibrox. The game that finished Michael Beale, 3-1 to Aberdeen. Now, on that day, did the Rangers players, who have remained unbeaten under Philippe Clement, did the Rangers players shortchange Michael Beale? Or was Michael Beale so lacking in imagination and inspiration that his team got what they deserved and Rangers had to get rid of him and get in someone who knew what they were doing? Or was it a combination of both? Whatever it was, it wasn't the case that Aberdeen didn't try against Rangers or tried harder against Rangers than it did against Celtic. Rangers were to blame for what happened to Rangers the last time the two clubs met.
Yeah, Mark, you had a bit of a debate on the phones about this during the week. As an ex-professional footballer, where do you land on this argument? Do players sometimes try harder against certain clubs?
I think it's bonkers. If any player goes out there and specifically picks one club and says, I'm going to try really hard today in comparison to last week's game, I think that's crazy to think that. A professional goes out on the pitch to perform to the best of their ability in every game they take part in. And if the argument is the atmosphere better in this fixture, of course it is. Does the atmosphere make the game more competitive? Maybe. I can understand that. But to emphasise the word try harder or they lift their game to a different level solely against Rangers, I think it's ridiculous. Aberdeen have got a very good squad and they should be able to compete to a certain level with Rangers. But on the flip side, I said this the other night as well, if the Rangers fans really think that, well, why don't they think that their team can raise their game that then elevates them above a raised Aberdeen performance? So are Rangers shortchanging their fans every time they play Aberdeen? Well, surely that's got to be in the argument as well, if they really think Aberdeen are so much better against them than they are against Celtic, against Hearts, against Hibs. I think it's ridiculous to suggest that.
Yeah, I understand what Mark's saying, but I've got to be honest, I always tried harder against Dunfermline in the Fife Derby. Meant so much to me.
Can there be a subconscious element to it at all? You talk about the atmosphere. Aberdeen against Rangers is undoubtedly more of a rivalry than Aberdeen against Celtic is. With these added factors into it, maybe the animosity between the supporters, a player might not go out and actively think, I'm going to try harder in this game, but could there be a sort of subconscious element to it that they just do because these factors are all floating about?
Well, I think they have a lot of explaining to their own fans, if that's the case. I mean, try harder. Think what we're saying here. Try harder. It's playground stuff. Suggesting that players go out and say, oh, this atmosphere is great, I'm really going to try the day because I wasn't quite trying my hardest last week. So it's ridiculous to think
that. Could you flip that over and say, well, Derek McInnes was an ex-Ranger. He was, he's got a lot of time for a club. He was a manager for Aberdeen in many games against Rangers. So pick the ones that didn't try harder against Rangers.
And Barry Robson, ex-Rangers player as well.
Oh, no. Don't go down that
way. Barry.
I know he started there.
He
got a stadium tour. And then went to Celtic.
That's harsh and bad.
Everyone in Scottish football has to believe in the conspiracy theory. Yeah. And this is the conspiracy theory. As Mark said, you have to be careful of what you're saying. Are you suggesting, not you personally, Andrew, but those who say that they try harder against Rangers than they do against Celtic, are you suggesting that they lie down against Celtic? And that's why it was 6-0 the last time the sides met. Over the years, we can never get away, and he's someone I know very well and like very much, Ian Durant. What happened to Ian Durant with Neil Simpson has left its mark on that fixture for decades. So there is that inbred rivalry, but you cannot think that they do better against Rangers than they do against Celtic unless you factor in one thing. Celtic in recent years have been much better than Rangers. That's why Celtic have taken trophy after trophy and Rangers have had two trophies in the last 11-12 years. So They don't do as well against Celtic, Aberdeen, because Celtic have been the best team in the country for a long time.
Yeah, Roger Hannah, you've watched this all unfold over the last couple of weeks. Your Scottish Sun columnist, Chris Boyd, has been in the thick of it as well. I just wonder what you've made of it all.
Listen, I know what the boys are saying. Aberdeen players do not intentionally raise their game at the sight of a light blue jersey. But the rivalry between Aberdeen and Rangers is much deeper, runs much deeper than the rivalry between Aberdeen and anyone else. It goes back to the days of Alec Ferguson wanting to come to Glasgow and beat his old team. It goes through that horrible incident Hugh referenced there with Ian Durant and Neil Simpson. It goes back to Richard Gough saying Aberdeen raised their game when they play Rangers. He said that 30 years ago. And, you know, it just so happens now that Rangers go back to Pittodrie tomorrow, where they lost at the end of last season, if you remember. They lost at home in Michael Beale's last game, although, you know, to answer Hugh's point, Aberdeen reserves could have come and won that day because Rangers were shot to bits and gone. Anyone would have won at Ibrox that day. And there is a rivalry. There'll be an incredible atmosphere at Pittodrie tomorrow, a far greater atmosphere than there ever is for a Celtic game when they come to town. And Aberdeen's players, being human beings, perform in that atmosphere and perform really creditably to their team. I spoke to Barry Robson, I covered the 6-0 game at Celtic Park 2 weeks ago for Super Scoreboard, and to be fair to Barry Robson, he pulled no punches. I asked him, was it down to fatigue after the European game? No, he said it wasn't. It was down to a dreadful performance. And fair play to the captain, Graham Shinney, who spoke through the week and said Chris Boyd was right. It was an embarrassing performance. So tomorrow, Aberdeen will be much better because they will be backed by a vociferous support of Pittodrie, and they will be determined to atone for what happened at Celtic Park 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, Roger makes an interesting point just about rivalries, and can players just be, are there some games you're just more up for? Did you have that in your career where you were? Look,
there's no doubt. If it's a midweek League Cup game at Celtic Park where there's, you know, 30,000 in it, or if it's a game against Rangers with 60,000, of course, then there's a huge difference in that, because there's a huge difference in the level of opposition and atmosphere, and perhaps that takes your performance to a different level. But I didn't go out in that midweek League Cup game and think I'm not really going to try today, because, you know, I can't really be bothered. But against Rangers, I'm really going to try. So, you know, the callers that we had on the other night saying, and there's, I think there's a large portion of fans who really believe that. I think that's where the ridiculous thing, professional footballers pick and choose the games where they try. People need to remember that players' livelihoods are on show every week, not just when Celtic and Rangers come to town. So your games against Hibs and Motherwell and St Mirren for the Aberdeen players determine where they go in the future, how their life, you know, goes on for there. So if you're suggesting that it's just one game they're going to try for, well, they're not going to get very far in their career if it's based on one game.
How far do you get if you look Bojan Miovski in the eye and say, listen, we don't try too hard against Celtic, but we really try against Rangers? And then you move on to Duke and you say, Duke, we don't really try hard against Celtic, but we try and get in about Rangers. And then Slobodan Rubicic, come on over here to tell you, we don't try against Celtic. Well,
he didn't hear that when he went in Kyogo, did he? Well, Herner told him it actually worked last couple of weeks ago.
You know, as I say, there's a simple reason for that. Over the period of time, Rangers have been through real problems off the park. They've gone to the lower leagues for years. And over that period of time, Celtic have been the best team. Trophy laden, trebles, quadruple trebles, invincible seasons, this, that, the other. That's why Aberdeen find it hard to get anything out of Celtic. And Rangers have not been at that level, and Aberdeen can get more, not much more if you look at the stats, but they can get more against Rangers than they get against Celtic.
What it does for us onlookers is maybe adds just an extra element to what you would expect is already going to be an interesting game tomorrow.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that, I really am. I fancy Rangers big time, let me tell you. I think that Roger hit the nail on the head. I think it's all about the atmosphere. Hugh gets back to that dreadful day for Ian Durant at Pittodrie, and we all remember that. I think from then it was always built up. Listen, I played against Aberdeen in Cup Finals when it was Fergie coming down to dominate Glasgow. And it wasn't just Rangers, but, you know, an Aberdeen team that would go out and try and run all over the top of Celtic as well, let me be quite honest, because of the sort of a determination of the manager leading them. But it's it comes from the stands and it's a hostile atmosphere. Of course, it's worse when Rangers go to town. It'll be incredible tomorrow than Celtic. But I totally take on board what Mark's trying to say. As a professional footballer, you do not pick games when you're going to try and not try.
Rangers will win tomorrow for one simple reason. Aberdeen aren't very good. That's why they're 2 points off the bottom of the table.
As blunt as that.
And they lost 6-0 to Celtic because they're not very good. They don't defend properly, and they created one chance that I recall in the 90 odd minutes against Celtic. So Rangers will win tomorrow because Clement has them on their toes. I do take Roger's point that anyone would have beaten Rangers on the day that Michael Beale said bye bye to Ibrox. Under Clement, they have not lost a game domestically or in Europe, and they'll win tomorrow because, I repeat, Aberdeen aren't very good.
Yeah, well, we can park that for now. That is a 12 o'clock kickoff at Pittodrie. Looking forward to that one. However, there are huge games to come. 5 in the top flight, plenty of Scottish Cup games to come as well. We'll give you all the previews next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Less than 15 minutes to go until the 3 o'clock kickoffs. There is 5 in the top flight, so let's start going back around the grounds, shall we? Starting with, let's go to Roger Hannah is at Dundee against Hibs. And Dundee, well, Tony Docherty will be able to reflect on this start to the season he's had and will be very happy with it so far, Roger.
Oh, he'll be absolutely delighted with it so far, particularly defensively, I think. I know they lost 3 at Celtic Park and 5 that night here at home to Rangers, but I think other than that, it's 5 clean sheets out of 6, and he's bought quite well, or signed quite well, I should think. You know, Joe Shaughnessy, who didn't get a regular game at St Mirren last season, has come in as captain, centre of a back 3. Ricky Lamy, who didn't always play for Motherwell last season, is in on the left-hand side of that 3. And Antonio Portales, who is one of the 2 Mexicans that were signed in the summer, he is probably the shortest central defender in the Premiership, but he reads the game terrifically well. He is very seldom out-muscled by bigger strikers, and he's made a very promising start here, Andrew.
Yeah, and Roger, you know, look at a Hibs perspective as well. It has been some quite patchy form for them. They're not really losing games, but they're not really winning any either. Nick Montgomery will be hoping that they can sort of shore up that defence and start going in a sort of positive direction.
Yeah, that 1-0 win a couple of weeks ago at home to Kilmarnock, Josh Campbell scored the goal. That was very much needed by Nick Montgomery, I have to say. I think they were 8 without a win before that, and they had that horrible habit of not just blowing a lead, but blowing 2 goal leads. If you remember, there were 2 up at Kilmarnock in Montgomery's first game, didn't win. They were 2 up at St Mirren, didn't win. They twice laid at home to Ross County, didn't win. And that becomes a very bad habit, and a very costly habit when you're trying to accumulate points in this Premiership. And they start today 2 points below Dundee, 2 places below Dundee. They will feel, you know, the size of it. It's a big city club, Andrew. They will believe they should be in the top 6. But they'll only get there with a win this afternoon. And on current form, they'll need to raise their game to get a win here.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at Dundee and what Tony Docherty has done so far in, you know, his first campaign as a manager, it's been very impressive. We've gone through the sort of first cycle of fixtures. If he can repeat that again, Dundee will be in quite a brilliant place going into the winter break.
I think if you'd have said to anyone up at Dundee that after 12 games, Andrew, they'd be in the top 5, they'd have bitten your hand off. He's recruited very, very well indeed. He's brought a lot of new players in. New manager, first job as a manager. We know he's got bags of experience as assistant to Derek McInnes. But he's hit the ground running, and he's been absolutely terrific. That'll be a good game today for Roger. I do fancy home advantage Dundee. Yes, they've had their hiccups. Obviously, Rangers dominated them and beat them very well indeed. But they bounced back their last game against St Mirren. They're at home today. I've got a feeling that they'll pick up the 3 points this afternoon.
Lindsay Heron is at St Mirren against Livingston. It has been a good season for St Mirren as well. Lindsay, recent form, maybe not so good, just 1 win in their last 6. But this is a game that, you know, given the way they've been playing this season, St Mirren fans will have a sort of expectancy to get 3 points today.
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew, especially after that 4-0, surprise 4-0 defeat at Dens Park a couple of weeks ago. Massive news, of course, that Ayunga's back, and Mark O'Hara, such an influential player for them. breaking from midfield as well. I'd be interested to see how Ayunga and Micah Mandron link up together. He's obviously become a fan's favourite as well, hasn't he? Ayunga, I mean, 7 goals, I think, in 24 games last season for St Mirren, which shows what he can bring to the party. So a tough ask, I think, for Livingston to cope with that front two this afternoon. I mean, they haven't scored in the last 4 games, Libby. They've slumped to the bottom of the table, as we discussed earlier. 5 straight defeats, so a real tough afternoon, it looks like, for Davy Martindale. See.
Yeah, it is a big one for Jonah Ayunga. I think it was January he suffered that ACL injury. He's been out for a long time. It maybe looked at one point that St Mirren thought it would be closer to the turn of the year that he would return. But he's not only back in the squad, he's back in the starting lineup, straight into it. Clearly shown in the bounce games that he's been playing that he's up to the task and ready to go.
Certainly seems that way, and they're going to need him this afternoon, because Stephen Robinson's team's had a great start to the season. Look where they're sitting just now, and I get that recent results, you know, obviously the 4-0 defeat at Dens Park was horrendous for them, and 2-2 at Hibs and beat against Celtic, so there's no disgrace in those results. Where they're sitting, an overall snapshot of the season, doing very well, and when you get a goal scorer back, that can only boost things further. So I wouldn't put it past them to get in the score sheet today and St Mirren to take all 3 points, because Livingston, if you look at the teams round about them, Ross County changed their manager, St Johnstone changed their manager, doesn't it look like Davy's going to change Davy? So they're in a whole lot of trouble.
13 games played, Mark. Libby have scored 9 goals. 13 games.
Yeah.
So there's clearly a problem. Inevitably, the season was going to come when Libby could not defy the odds any longer. Davy Martindale has performed wonders at that club, and they have been an outstanding success story because they survive. But this time, there are serious question marks against their ability to survive.
What were you doing there, just throwing some sweets about?
I was going to add in to
Hold on, I've never seen something so greedy in my life. A box of chocolates has just made its way onto our desk, and this guy, before it's even done, big hand in. How many have you taken here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's the quickest
chocolates
I've seen you move.
It's a long day.
Look what he's left. He's left hardly any. Like a kid.
I'll get back to the St Mirren, Livy. You've got to fancy St Mirren certainly today, because Livy have not beaten St Mirren the last 8 games anyway, and they're in terrible, terrible run of form. I watched St Mirren against Hibs a couple of weeks ago, midweek. They scraped a 2-2, a late goal to get that point. But home advantage today, you've got to fancy the Paisley buddies.
At Tynecastle, Hearts against St Johnstone. The big storyline, obviously, is the return of Craig Levein to Tynecastle with St Johnstone. It's been a successful start, and I'll be hoping that he can maybe put a wee bit more pressure on Stephen Naismith, despite the fact that Hearts sitting fourth in the league. There's maybe still some unhappy supporters about, Michelle.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of unhappy Hearts supporters in here if they don't get a result today. I would imagine, though, even though it's Craig Levein that's in charge, they'll be absolutely desperate to get those 3 points and start, you know, getting themselves up into third spot. There's only 2 points at the moment separating them and St Mirren. If St Mirren slip up today and Hearts get a win, then that's a major step forward for Stephen Naismith. But as you said, you know, Craig Levein's come here. He's got 4 points out of 6 in his first 2 games, which is fantastic considering the run that St Johnstone had. So he will be hoping that they can start climbing up that table a little bit more. There's only 1 point between them and the 2 teams behind them, Ross County and Livy. So they'll be looking for them to slip up and hope that they can get something here. And you're talking about the fact that it is Craig Levein's homecoming. He has been literally walking around Tynecastle since he got here, talking to everybody, the security people, the people in the dugouts. It's been, yeah, coming up and speaking to all his media pals that are up here. So yeah, I think he's relishing this one today, and I think he'll have a wry little smile if he does manage to get one over Stephen Naismith, even though he knows it means it piles even more pressure on his former player.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly things can change in football, because a few weeks ago some people had St Johnstone relegated pretty much, didn't they? And yeah, then all of a sudden Craig Levein has come in. They're off the bottom, yes, only by 1 point, but they're in 10th place. They look as if they have that momentum over some of the teams around them, certainly Livingston, and we're yet to see with Ross County under Derek Adams.
Can we call David Friel to the stand at this point? He was the man who said they were relegated, and then
didn't back down. He doubled down, didn't you, Postie?
I certainly did, Hugh, and I'm going to double down again. It's a new manager bounce. St Johnson are going down.
Well, there we go. Speaking of new manager bounce at the Global Energy Stadium, Ross County against Kilmarnock. Dave Galloway is there, as is Derek Adams. He is a man that's well liked by the Ross County supporters, and he'll be hoping to get off to a winning start.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, Andrew. This is actually the third time this season Kilmarnock will have faced a new manager. Nick Montgomery at Hibs, interim at St Johnson, Alex Cleland, and now Derek Adams. He's looking no further forward than today's match, but the eventual target for him is regular top six placings for Ross County. Staggies only off the bottom of the league on goal difference. They really do need to get something going, don't they? On the other hand, Killy, very good indeed at Rugby Park this season. They've beaten both halves of the Old Firm, but a terrible, terrible run on the road. Although Derek McInnes has said in lead up to this match he's been pretty happy with the performances away from home, and if they get a win today they could go fourth in the table, such is the tightness of this Premiership.
Yeah, well, Roy McGregor has done it before mid-season. He's made those changes previously. John Hughes came in a few years ago and kept Ross County up. So it really seemed as if, you know, Roy McGregor thought that something had to change, and Derek Adams is a man he knows he can trust.
I agree with him. I know that you mentioned about Derek McInnes coming out and standing up for Malcolm Mackay, but I think if you're the owner of a club, you've got the duty to think that if your club's in serious danger, which they are. Now, if you look at Malky, I think he's a very good manager. Might just not be in the fit for him. Only because of Partick Thistle last year. And I thought that if Chris Doolan...
You got a piece of caramel stuck in your mouth.
I'm so delighted.
There's the karma right there.
I'm so delighted you come back to me there. But if Chris Doolan had maybe a little bit more games under his belt, I think he would have seen.
Don't have a go at Thistle.
Yeah, he'd have probably seen that game out, and I think Ross County would have been relegated. But take nothing away from Malky. But once again this season, he finds himself sitting there 11th. I know the league's very tight at the bottom, and I think it was the right move to change a manager. Now, I'm not saying Derek Adams going back for a third time was the right appointment, only time will tell.
We'll give Gordon Dale time to finish off his sweets, and we'll go back to Celtic Park next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to get underway in the 3 o'clock kickoff. Let's try and go back to David Friel at Celtic Park. A final bit of build up.
Yes, Andrew, teams out on the pitch just now. Brendan Rodgers clapping the fans. Huge day for Celtic, huge day for Motherwell. Celtic 6-0 win over Aberdeen. That was the 50th unbeaten league game at home, so they're obviously relentless at Celtic Park. It's a real tough one for Motherwell. Celtic just going out of the huddle. I'll just run through the teams for you again. Joe Hart in goals for Celtic, a back four of Tony Ralston, Cameron Carter, Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor, Matt O'Reilly, Callum McGregor and Odin Thiago home in midfield, with Jan Kyogo and Lewis Palmer up front. Motherwell, Liam Kelly, Bevis Mugabe, Dan Casey, Shane Blaney, Stephen O'Donnell, Callum Slattery, Callum Butcher, Harry Payton, Brody Spencer, Blair Spittle and Mika Biret. Motherwell will kick off here. Huge day for both teams.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Make your life that little bit easier. Use their free prescription delivery.
Yes, underway in the 3 o'clock kickoffs. The domestic football is back. Plenty of Scottish Cup games, 5 top flight matches as well. There was that big one in the Scottish Cup last night as well that we will touch on in a bit as well. But first of all, time to get the predictions from you lot underway, starting with Hugh.
Home win for Celtic against Motherwell. Likewise, Dundee to beat Hibs. Hearts to beat St Johnston. St Mirren to beat Livingston. The only non-home win for me, I'm taking Kilmarnock to win at Dingwall.
Okay, I can't see Motherwell getting anything, so Celtic win there. Hibs will beat Dundee at Dens Park today. Hearts will beat St Johnston. There'll be a draw in Dingwall between Ross County and Kilmarnock. And St Mirren will beat Livy.
Okay, full house at Celtic Park. Hopefully Motherwell can get a miracle, but I don't think it's going to happen. 8 minutes is a long time in football, I've found out, so I'm going for Dundee Hibs draw. Hearts, St Johnstone. I'm going Hearts. I'm going Ross County, new manager bounce, and I'm going St Mirren.
Well, there we go. No early action so far in today's matches, but we'll see if there are any early goals to come. There was an English Premier League game on earlier on, Manchester City against Liverpool, which finished not too long ago. That was a 1-1 draw between the sides, but what we really care about is the return of Scottish football, Hugh.
Yep, but in the passing, quality football from Man City and Liverpool, quality goals. You can see them later on. But this is a big day. You know, Liam Kelly, the Motherwell goalkeeper, so much debate about him on Super Scoreboard on a now weekly basis about his position within the Scotland squad. He'll need to have a big afternoon because Celtic will surely be taking the game to Motherwell, looking for a repeat of their performance against Aberdeen, wanting to go 11 points clear and seeing if it is at all possible to put Philippe Clement and his players under pressure at Pittodrie tomorrow.
Couple of early chances to tell you about. Jan Danda with a dangerous ball across the face of goal for Ross County. There was no takers in the middle though, and good start for St Mirren as well. Mark O'Hara header just wide from Scott Tanzer's cross.
Speaking about Liam Kelly, you're right. Remember, it was one of our last callers, a lady called up before the international break and was adamant that Liam Kelly should not be in goals for Motherwell at this time. And it was a difficult one because he was going away in international duty. And how do you frame that one? But he is in goals today, and he's going to have a busy afternoon, you'd think. So a big one for him today to get the fans, or some of those fans, back inside.
He's not in sparkling form, let's not be kidded here, but he is a very, very talented goalkeeper. He's a captain. So it'd be a massive, massive decision for the Motherwell manager to leave him out. I think he's right in playing him, because players do go off form, we know that. So boys were right. I think Celtic will dominate possession today at Celtic Park. If Motherwell are going to get anything, he will need to have the game.
Did you ever get that in management where nothing is going right, so you just, I'll just start changing players and see if there's a better outcome?
I gave you 90 minutes in the following week. You were on the pine.
The old Tumboa.
Listen, I've been on the way to games, and I've arrived there at 1:15 with the team written down, and by 1:30 it was changed.
Is it just the way someone had spoken to you that morning that you decided?
I'm a body language. I've learned that.
You're a body language.
I can tell by people. I've learned that from my younger days up Victoria's in Hamilton Palace.
You can
feel the vibes if you're going to have a good night or not.
What do we learn about your body language? The chocolates come in and you immediately swipe them. What is that?
I've been at the gym this morning working out. I've not really eaten, so I needed that little bit of sugar rush this afternoon just to get me through today's programme.
Nice and nutritious after your gym session.
That's great, that, isn't it?
Yeah, as long as you put it in the gym in the morning, get up there and put your shift in, you're fine.
Celtic hogging the ball as expected at Celtic Park. There was some nice play by Lewis Palma and Matt O'Reilly, but defended well in the end by Motherwell. Just on Lewis Palma, maybe some eyebrows raised that he is playing because he only got back from international duty yesterday. There was an explanation from Brendan Rodgers before the game. He said that he maybe would have maybe sat him on the bench today, but he's suspended for Tuesday's game away to Lazio. So he felt he would get him in from the start today.
But as I say, it's indicative also of the way that Louis Palma has made an instant impression at Celtic. You know, a wonderful passer of the ball, picks out players beautifully, has an eye for goal, and was the star turn against Aberdeen in that 6-0 victory for Celtic 2 weeks ago. So it's up to players like Odin Thiago Holm today, playing beside Matt O'Reilly and Callum McGregor in the middle of the park. Brendan Rodgers gave him a bit of a flea in his ear the last time, took him off after an hour because he clearly didn't think he was working hard enough.
First Scottish Cup goal, Queen of the South 0, Dundee United 1. Kai Fotheringham with the goal, who's been in really good form this season. Bad news for Marvin Bartley, who's having a tough time of it.
I love the big guy, I really do. I don't know which size of tracksuit I've maybe put a bid in. I'm not one to jinx them here this afternoon. Look, like when you're in amongst the boys, you're in the team, you've got to take it. You can give it all you've got to take
it. I will vouch for that. Exactly. I've had to take an awful lot.
I've been there myself.
And then give a post-match interview after losing 7 to one of our colleagues, Roger, who's asking the questions, knowing fine well that yous were all giving me in the studio.
Look, I really feel for him. He's having a ton of time just now. I just hope that, like, his first management job, and you learn along the way, of course you do. It took me a season and a half before I got to my first cup final. So it is a learning curve.
The first half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since the beginning of the Scottish Premiership, 8 players have scored 40 league goals or more, and all of them are still active in our top flight. Since the beginning of the Scottish Premiership, 8 players have scored 40 league goals or more, and they are all still active in our top flight. Who are they?
As usual, with the first half teaser, get your tweets in, all the answers in one tweet, please, at Clyde SSB to make sure. Remember, it is a race as well, so you want to be on that podium at half time. You can see the question written out as well at Clyde SSB on Twitter, so make sure to send those answers in all on one tweet. Are you two getting on? A few?
Well, I've got
conferring
one.
Already.
We'll get two. Yeah.
We've got a couple, so ticking away nicely just now, Andrew.
Decent enough start there. There has been a few chances. Motherwell had a decent chance to break from a Celtic corner, but Ralston did well. Mika Birut was too hesitant when he was trying to go forward for Livingston. A half chance for Bruce Anderson. It was a Richard Taylor header that dropped at his feet, but that one went over the bar. And then also one for Liam Boyce, a header that was pushed behind for a corner. That was came from a corner as well from Alex Lowry. You got another?
Yeah, you've just given it. Thank you.
The answers. Don't give away the answers. Try to beat the general public here.
Oh, yes.
It's still not going to be as bad as actually giving away the answer to the who am I.
Listen, I'll try my best this week.
A shot by Matt O'Reilly saved. Celtic trying to pile on the pressure. It was good play by Lewis Palmer and Greg Taylor in the build up to that one.
Speaking about the gym, Andrew, somebody's just taken off his tracky top and. It's evident he doesn't go to the he doesn't go the gear department in the gym, because that is one of the bobbliest t-shirts I've ever seen in my life. How old is that thing?
What range is that from? What year did you possibly buy that?
I was sponsored by that, let me tell you. Unfortunately, what happened was, we've all been there, and don't mock me for this, you buy a wee sort of a hoodie out of Primark, £9, and the oosh comes off it sometimes if you've not washed it properly. So unfortunately, from a dazzler's point of view,
that's an old.
You're trying to claim that the bobbles are from the jumper you just took off, and not by the fact that the t-shirt you're wearing is clearly over a decade old.
At least
to be fair, it is a small.
Bulges coming out everywhere, and not the places you want them to come out.
I think the less said about that, the better. Still no goals in the top flight of Scottish football at the moment. Roger Hanna says that you got that t-shirt in 93 thanks to the top 10.
Straight in the sports division.
I got it for doing my interview.
Oh dear.
Listen, going back to what Hugh says about home, I don't want to turn this into David Turnbull's story every week, but see when we're flicking through our papers here and you see David Turnbull sitting at the top of the scorers charts, you wonder why. You know, he's now been put on the bench for the last few games.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Rodgers did seem to favour him at the start of the season. It was the opening day of the campaign that he started over Rio Hatate. Quite a lot was made of that, but then all of a sudden he just really can't buy a start at all.
Sometimes for a manager, you've really got to try and justify some signings coming in. I agree with Mark. If you look at his stats, you look at his goals, Ross County, man of the match, he can add everything up and yet doesn't get a start today against his old club, which he would probably relish. So I think it's maybe a case sometimes of get the get the new signings in, try and get them game time as well. You've got to have that fine balance, and that's what I think Brendan Rodgers is trying to do.
Stirling Albion 0, Cove Rangers 1. Michael Doyle with the goal in that game. There's a goal for a familiar name as well down in England. It is Tavernier, Marcus Tavernier, the younger brother of James Tavernier.
Brighton are losing. Depression among the grandchildren.
Yeah, it's not been great for Brighton in recent weeks, has it? A good start to the season has turned a bit.
I see Charlie Mulgrew was down there visiting the training ground.
He's been everywhere, hasn't he?
Yeah, apparently outstanding training ground in there.
And every team they visited the next weekend, they get beat.
Well, tell them not to go back to Brighton then.
David Friel saying that Brad Spencer doing very well up against Yang, who had a bright 45 minutes. Yang, didn't he, in the 6-0 win over Aberdeen?
Well, Tilio was there on the bench. Interesting, you know, he came and was injured straight away. First sighting of him on first team day. So he could be in line for a cameo role today.
But Yang was very good for that 45 minutes. And I felt in that game, you know, against Aberdeen, that Yang really had to step up and deliver something, whether that be an assist or two or a goal. And of course, he gets a goal early on, and I think that kind of settled him. And he really stood out in that afternoon. But it's consistency, doing it again and again. And the flip side, Spencer, the Motherwell fans that were on that night,
Spencer, by the way, I think I said Brad.
Yeah,
you did.
The Motherwell fans were having a go at Kettlewell for not playing Spencer on the left hand side in the last couple of games, but he's back in today, and he's going to need to be in top of his game, because Yang will keep going at you. That's the one thing about Yang, he never hides. He always takes the ball. Now, he doesn't always go by you, but he'll try and get by you. So it's going to be a tough afternoon for Spencer.
Yeah, Spencer and Blaney are doubling up every time he runs at them, so he's going to have a tough afternoon trying to get by the two of those players. And then on the other side, interesting comments after the Aberdeen game, the 6-0 win from Brendan Rodgers, just about Lewis Palmer, saying that when he came in, that Lewis Palmer was maybe a bit sort of one-dimensional. He just cut in every single time. He's obviously got a really good right foot, but saying that they've been doing a lot of work to make sure that he's got more facets to his game. He can, and you saw that against Aberdeen. He could cut in, he could shoot, he could play crosses from that angle, or he could go to the byline, and that's where a goal came from as well, from a left-footed cross.
He's been working with Harry Kewell, and he paid the tribute to Harry Kewell after that Aberdeen game, because he's clearly made a big impression on him. I said at the start, before the game began, that it had to be more than just damage limitation for Motherwell, but it does sound that like they're being forced into a kind of damage limitation mode, because Celtic are piling on the pressure, and if they're doubling up on Yang, it's going to be potentially a long afternoon for Celtic.
There's a goal in the Scottish Cup for Dunbar United, 1-0 up against Alloa, and it's Michael Barfoot with a goal. Could be some shocks.
There will be definitely a shock in the Scottish Cup. Don't know where it'll be, but there certainly will be.
Well done.
Good
Misting
call,
yeah. I felt I'd throw that one out there for the listeners rather than myself.
Alloa, though, appointed new manager, didn't quite go well, did it, in his first game, got beat 3-0, so okay, start for Big Andy.
Looking at those fixtures, where do you see any potential shocks then, to maybe go slightly more in depth to Gordon DL's generalisation?
Ask the man who can protect the all.
I think Bucky could beat Broxburn Athletic away.
Seen a lot of them, have you, recently?
Especially the Bucky.
Please drink responsibly.
Yeah. Kelly Hearts Hamilton, I think there'll be a shock there. Is that a shock if Kelty beat Hamilton?
I would say very much so. I don't see that happening.
Great game for your club, Mark.
It's a big one, that, by the way.
Yeah, Queen's Park not going very well in the league, but Scottish Cup.
Derby, Glasgow Derby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a big one. Morton Bowness. Morton, time's not great for Dougie Imrie at the minute.
No.
But surely they can be beat off Bowness.
Well, you know, when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, as one of Gordon Dale's favourite songs would say. So, Dougie Imrie's bang up against it, bottom of the league, just can't buy a win. And look what happened to some teams in the Scottish Cup. You know, they come up against opposition like that. Go back to last season.
We've got a goal
in fact,
here.
I'll interrupt you. Goal flashes.
with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee 0, Hibs 1, and it's Gerard Tavares with the goal. A man who has been on form in the last few weeks, Gerard Tavares. He's really coming onto a game under Nick Montgomery. And it is 1-0 to Hibs. Tavares to Venta, to Campbell, back to Tavares. And it was nice move and a goal for Hibs that is much needed, I would
think. He said he'd been psychologically left devastated by the way he was treated by the previous Hibs manager, Lee Johnson. But Nick Montgomery's come in, clearly they've hit it off with each other straight away, developed a rapport. And Tony Docherty, we've given him lots of praise, but Dundee have to fight their way back now.
Queen of the South 1, Dundee United 1. Gavin Riley with the goal pulls them level at home to Dundee United.
That's a, you know, if Marvin Bartley was to get a win over Dundee United in the cup, that's a turning of the corner result, because
it takes one result just to change things.
Yeah.
And the football changes very, very quickly indeed. And you'd enjoy your weekend. He's obviously not had a lot of enjoyment in his weekend lately. As a manager, it doesn't matter what level or what team you manage, you go away and it's a long weekend. Mark will tell you he's enjoying his weekends now. It's completely different for him. But I just hope that he can go and get a good result today.
Good break by Motherwell. Cameron Carter-Vickers had work to do, gets back and makes the interception as Spittle tried to find Mika Beerith, who is looking to continue that good run of form in front of goal that he's had. And
good
back
player.
From injury.
A good player. I think Kettlewell is delighted to have him back into the starting 11. He was making great impacts when he came off the bench. He's a young lad. Yeah, I think he's got quality in everything he does, and he's got a big, big future in the game. Let's not be kidded.
He's a confident boy as well. Having interviewed him a couple of times, he backs himself
I like
to score
that.
Goals,
and why not?
Produced so far.
Why not?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all.
You know what I mean? I think as a striker, I don't like to see shy strikers don't get any goals. Shy kids don't get any sweeties. We've always said that.
You've had enough sweeties.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But I think playing with Motherwell, you know, first team football, learning his trade, everything about him, I think he'll certainly go into big things.
Very good save by Ross Laidlaw to keep out Danny Armstrong. It was a deflected shot, that one. Celtic trying to pile on a bit of pressure now after that Motherwell break forward. They forced a couple of corners, but Motherwell just very compact, and they'll be doing exactly what Stuart Kettlewell will want them to do, just being hard to break down at the moment.
Well, the last two visits, as I said earlier, the last two visits to Celtic Park, the scoreline has been very tight indeed. Everyone wrote them off today because no wins in the last nine. They're playing Celtic, who last time out took six off Aberdeen and looked the best that they had looked all season. But the international break, that 2 week break, players come back from all over the globe. It takes them a while to get started again, and it sounds as if Motherwell could take this to half time and it's still 0-0, then Celtic Park would get a bit twitchy.
Inevitably. I mean, Celtic do just have that quality. We saw it against Aberdeen. Do you expect that if they do manage to get a goal in this first half, that they'll run away with it, Mark?
Well, you've got to expect so. It's par for the course usually at Celtic Park when they make the breakthrough, and especially against a defence like Motherwell are shown in recent weeks. But look, by the sound of it, the way the game's going, we've seen early on in the season St Johnstone going there, and everyone thought, oh, I think I said it'd be 4 or 5-0 that day, and look how that turned out. So these games can be stuffy affairs. Motherwell going with a five across the back always makes it difficult.
But we know, Mark, in recent years St Johnstone try a lot harder against Celtic at Celtic Park, and that's why maybe they got that.
Look at the running stats, 7% more than run.
I think the big thing is when you're an underdog and you go to teams like Celtic and Rangers, if you're still in the game, you've still got that energy, that bit of life about you, you've still got a bit of belief. And if you lose the first goal, the head slightly goes down, and then if the second one comes quickly, you know that I'd rather be in having a shower and get myself organised for going home.
It used to be the case when I used to go when I was younger with Dundee United to Celtic Park, and of course that was the game plan. you know, frustrate them and, you know, get to half time and every wee section was a tick box. 20 minutes. It was always
silence
about
the crowd.
Honestly, it was always about 15 minutes to get a corner and Henrik Larsson or John Hartson would run across the face, bang, the music would come on and you'd think, this could be a long afternoon. And it often was a long afternoon.
Greg Taylor with one of those. Was it a shot? Was it a cross that's headed wide by Blaney? Maybe not hitting the heights of last season, Greg Taylor.
Well, you know, he's a bit of a whipping boy. I think he's been a very, very good signing for Celtic. He didn't enjoy the happiest of international appearances for Scotland last time out, but I still think he's a fine player. Everything today has to be seen as well in the context of Tuesday night in Rome, Celtic playing Lazio. They've had a very poor Champions League campaign. You can argue however much you like, but 1 point from the games played so far. On the night when they had an outstanding first half against Atletico Madrid, it's not a success story, and they will need to do much better in Rome on Tuesday. But first of all, they have to prioritise 3 points against Motherwell, and right now it's a struggle.
A brilliant save from Liam Kelly. He's actually had to deny Stephen O'Donnell. It would have been an own goal. He'd headed it towards his own goal, but that one is saved by Liam Kelly.
Well, knowing Stephen O'Donnell, I think they'll practice that every day in training. But we said earlier that for Motherwell to get out of here with anything, the goalkeeper will need to have a big day, and that just that boosts his confidence, especially when he's Mark's right. Well, I've been on the show and people have phoned in and given them a bit of criticism, want him stripped to the captaincy, want him dropped. So well done. I always would have went with him, experience. I think he's a good goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was a Lewis Palmer corner that Stephen O'Donnell just didn't really deal with at the front post, did he? Went for a sort of diving header and somehow directed it on target, but it was a really good save by Liam Kelly. And there is a red card in the Scottish Cup. Bucky Thistle down to 10.
Oh no!
Second bookable offence.
That's a shock away.
Scott Adams after just 22 minutes.
That's what the Bucky does for you. Oh. There you go. Makes you lose your head. There you go. That's your tip.
Oh, that's not
it's a
tonic.
A long way to go.
That's not the tonic I was looking for.
Yandanda drive turned around.
You like that one, do you?
That wasn't bad, was it?
That was very good. I'm here all week.
Jan Danda had a drive turned round the post by Will Dennis in the Kilmarnock goal. Still pretty shy in front of goal most places in the top flight so far. Matt O'Reilly trying to get a shot away for Celtic, just kind of crowded out there as he did so.
Well, it's that type of day for Celtic. They're just going to have to keep knocking on the door in the hope that they'll get in at some point. But dogged determination from Motherwell. Goalkeeper has had two exceptional saves so far. It's in the balance.
Should we get some wrong answers on this teaser? Do you want to remind us of it, Hugh?
Yeah. Since the beginning of the Scottish Premiership, 8 players have scored 40 league goals or more, and they're all still active in the Premiership. Who are they?
So remember, the start of the Scottish Premiership, that was the rebrand. So 2013 onwards we're talking about. That's maybe catching a few people out. Derek FM has gone for Johnny Hayes.
Not there.
Of course, scored plenty before it was rebranded the Scottish Premiership, but it is from 2013 onwards.
It's just confusing when they keep changing the name of the week.
You remember that was all about the breakup of the Scottish League, which was a terrific organisation, well run, but it was time for the rebrand, as you call it. So the SPL came into being then, or the SPFL rather. And I remember being inside Hampden as a working journalist, and I was there for 12 hours. And they did this, that, the other. You've been there, Andrew, you know how long these things take. And every club from the four divisions was there. And I came out, got the taxi at 11:30 at night. And the first thing the taxi driver said was, "What's happening in there, Hugh?" You know, and you think the whole of Scotland was waiting for the outcome. Are we going to have a brand new league set up? The end of the Scottish League, the beginning of the SPL? What was happening in there?
Did you get your dinner?
No.
No? No food? No spread put on for you?
It's the old vending machine, isn't it?
A few shouts as well for Logan Ballingall. He said Lauren Shankland.
No, that's a no.
He's only 37 goals he's got. There's also who else he said? Kevin Nisbet. He's gone for as well. Only 31 for Kevin Nisbet. Another goal in the Scottish Cup. Stranraer 0, Airdrieonians 1. Callum Gallagher with the goal, who's going well for Airdrie in the Championship so far this season after scoring lots in League One last campaign. There's an equaliser for Brighton as well, Hugh.
Right, it's a VAR check. But Brighton get more goals chalked off because of VAR than any other team. If you look back, you'll find that's the case. But there's still a VAR check going on, I think. But hopefully.
Conspiracy, Hugh? Or is that just the facts?
Well, Nottingham Forest always try harder against Brighton than they do against anybody else.
Yeah, quite a quiet afternoon so far on the goals front. Just the one in the top flight anyway. That went to Gier Tavares of Hibs, 1-0 up away to Dundee. Still haven't had any others.
I was through at Hibs training ground, Andrew, midweek, and speaking to some of the players. Love Nick Montgomery, love what he's doing there. Love.
Were you invited or just turned up?
I just turned up just to see how the place was. Apparently worked some very, very hard, and that's why I tipped Hibs today. A long way to go on that one, but I was there.
You tipped them just because?
Well, I saw the session. I saw some of the session, and it was great, and they were all enjoying it and thinking, well, this is 100% an away win. But we were playing against our reserve side, but the reserve side totally mirrored the first team, the way they play that kind of 4-2-4 formation and wide guys really high. And it's adventurous, and we've been critical because you need the players to play that way, but I think it will click for Montgomery sooner or later. Maybe he needs to get a few more of his players in January.
He was at Montrose last night, and he says to me before the show, I fancy Montrose big
time. But I mean, Montrose against Edinburgh City,
what a setup they've got.
Aye, Montrose head high. Rooms,
12 pegs.
Have you been to Lynx Park?
Years ago.
I've got to say, it's the way to do it. See it, youth football, long journey for our boys in Montrose. 8 Domino's pizzas. There you go after it. A great gesture.
It was a turning point.
We all know how dear Domino's is, so that's no cheap.
True story, Lynx Park was actually the turning point of my Wraith career with Jimmy Nicol.
Yeah,
he was.
And the one you sat on the bench?
No. He was. I think we got them the cup or something. I hadn't played. Jimmy was under severe pressure, not winning games. Obviously, prolific goal scorer, not scoring goals. And this is a true story, and now this is a clean story. He actually.
You also realise that any time Gordon DL tells a story, he has to emphasise at the start. This is a true story.
This is a true story, and
clean.
He asked me.
This is always good.
As we went in to wash our hands in the toilets, he asked me a question.
It's clean,
true. I'm not going to put a punchline in. He says, "Will you play for me tonight? I need a result." And I think I scored 3, and we went on to bigger and better things. And
what
Jimmy,
do you mean he asked you, will you play for me?
Because Jimmy and I were at loggerheads when he was a new manager. Jimmy didn't like me, I didn't like Jimmy.
That's not your choice not to play.
No, but Jimmy maybe thought I'd been an experienced player, that I would have done an Aberdeen against Celtic, went tried, right? Sort of thing. He's going, are you a Don against Celtic? Are you a Don against Rangers? I says, I'm a Don against Rangers, Jimmy, get me out there.
He scored 3.
3. And we went on a unbeaten run, won cups and everything. And the moral of the story is all because of me.
Get somebody from Wraith on to verify that.
It's 100%.
Chris, dig into that. Wraith v Montrose. What year's that? 93 again.
That's one of my songs. I played my top 10 on the way down the team bus.
I'm just thinking of Ibrahimovic's biography. It was called I Zlatan, wasn't it? Yours could be I Dazzler.
I know that I tell an odd fibber too, right?
And
I'm first to admit that, right? Put my hands up. But when I tell a true story, it's from the heart, it's sincere. And that was a true story. And Jimmy Nicol to this
we'll
day
find
still,
out whether it's a true story or not.
Jimmy
we'll
Nicol to this day still thanks me.
Right, get Jimmy on. Somebody must have Jimmy's number.
Jimmy and I love it. Well, I ended up the captain. You know how you lift trophies and that when you're a captain of clubs. You just don't do a huddle for 5 minutes and
trophies.
Claim.
How many trophies did you have?
I won the championship. I won the championship.
You don't get a trophy.
Yeah, you did. You got a massive trophy.
I thought you'd just get a pat on the back for
that. Oh, big trophy. Along with a League Cup trophy. I was trophied out my head at one point, let me tell you.
I bet you were.
Cumnock 0, BSC Glasgow 1 in the Scottish Cup. Alistair McComb with the goal in that one. BSC Glasgow had a decent run to the was it the fourth round a few years ago? They came up against East Kilbride.
I'm just wondering, one goal in the Premiership, five games, is this the consequence of a 2 week international break? Do they all find it hard to pick up where they left off?
It's the cold weather, Hugh. That's it. Players aren't warmed up yet. They'll come to life in the second half.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I'm sort of, I know that sounds funny, but I think that there will be better, more goals in the second half.
Yeah, well,
a little bit rust in this year. They've worked a lot. For instance, Motherwell would have worked a lot in, you know, formation, getting behind the ball, trying to, you know, close down certain areas of the pitch, not let Celtic go and dominate them. And so, yeah, I think second half we'll get a feast of
well,
goals.
We'll hold you to that.
Feast of goals.
Alloa don't want to be on the end of a shock. They have equalised against Dunbar United. Kevin Colley with the goal.
Well, that's it. We go back to Aberdeen Darvel last season. My old pal Ian McCall last night. Clyde 2, Genefield Swifts 0. That's a big result for him because he suffered a 4-0 caning in his first game last Saturday against East Fife. So didn't want a cup shock on top of that.
I wonder, that Trenent Junior against Forfar Athletic, nothing happening just now, but could that be the one after what Trenent done to East Kilbride, who are flying high? That could be a shock in the cards, perhaps.
Potential there, certainly. Still, it's just teams not really getting going, is it, so far, Hugh?
We'll only get one goal, Hugh.
One goal in five games. You know that.
Hurry up, I'm running out of stories. Well, I'll need to start telling lies shortly.
We'll have to take the Wilson philosophy on this one. It's the cold weather, and all will be better after the interval. But more than half an hour gone, five games, one goal.
Yeah, David Friel reporting from Celtic Park, just saying Motherwell unable to really keep a hold of the ball when they get it. And like you are limited on the ball at Celtic Park. You need to try and make the most of it when you can.
Yeah, but Motherwell will have a tactic of staying in this game. And Mark's right. When you go there, you'll be thinking, right, just get through the first 20 minutes. Then we can work from there. Get to half time. We can sit down. We can have a chat about, can we be a bigger threat going forward? So it's all about plans and tactics for Motherwell. For Celtic, it's basically breaking them down, getting the first goal. Because if they get the first goal, then we'd all imagine they'll go and win it comfortably.
Stuart Kettlewell would love a draw, wouldn't he? We'd take a draw now.
Oh, he'd walk away from Celtic Park right now. Yep. Down the road, leave David Friel sitting there with his report.
Yeah, but that's right about Motherwell, what they've been working on in the international break. Obviously, being compact, more compact than they've been in the last nine games. With that five across the middle of the park, been hard to play through, and by the sounds of it, they're achieving that. But of course, when you win the ball back, you need to have an out ball, and if you don't, and you invite a team like Celtic onto you time and time and time again, they are going to get chances. Guys like Kyogo and Palma and Yang or Riley are eventually going to take one, or you look at the bench and you've got your Turnbulls who can put one in for distance. I wonder what Telio, if he comes on, what he can offer. So it's going okay just now for Motherwell, but you know, the longer the game goes, the deeper you sometimes
get. If I were David Turnbull, I would think, you know, I've shown this season on several occasions that I can score, and you know, he's sitting there on the bench watching Celtic, 35 minutes gone, and you know, in need of a goal, and you know, his name must be going through Brendan Rodgers' mind.
I think we will. Brendan Rodgers says midweek at the AGM that he'll look to trim the squad in January. I'll be surprised if Turnbull isn't one who actively seeks to move on and Brendan Rodgers maybe agrees.
Contract up at the end of the season.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, I think his time has come. I think he'll be frustrated, and I think he's worth having about, but I think he'll be frustrated and want more game time.
Brora Rangers 1, Pollock 0 in the Scottish Cup. Jordan McRae with the goal. Falkirk also 1-0 up against Fermartin United. Ethan Ross scoring for them. There has been a bit of Motherwell pressure as well. They had a corner that was cleared. They also had another Hart. Joe Hart found himself in no man's land. It was Stephen O'Donnell then tried to lob. That one was cleared by Cameron Carter-Vickers. Then Dan Casey over the bar after that. A decent chance for Motherwell.
Well, I heard another caller in the Super Scoreboard during the week talking about the need to get another goalkeeper in. He wasn't entirely happy with Joe Hart. And when you said that get caught in no man's land, that's one of his failings. He can get caught there.
Spartans 1-0 up against Arbroath as well. James Cragan with the goal in that game.
Did you see that Dick Campbell was awarded the British Empire Medal this week?
Seriously?
Yeah.
What's it?
70 years old, got the British Empire Medal. I'm not entirely sure what that is, but...
Yeah, what do you get that for?
It's
not football.
No.
What is it?
Well,
there's no point coming out with a story if you can't back it up.
Well, he's got you there, you.
MBE, CBE, OBE.
What have you got,
BEM.
Mate? What have you got?
6 grandkids.
I thought they'd have given you Santa.
BAM. That's what he is. You get that medal, the BAM one.
BAM.
So the British Empire medal, did he?
Yeah.
Yep, Dick Campbell, BEM. Yeah. He's now known as.
Yep.
Great man. Great man.
Like Andrew, more info. What did you get it for?
Let's have a look. Here's an article from Arbroath. We'd like to congratulate our manager, Dick Campbell, who's been awarded the British Empire Medal in the King's Birthday's honours list.
Services
meritorious civil or military service worthy of recognition by the Crown.
What? Is he in the military?
Well, it's news to me. But anyway, I'm just keeping
Dick
you
in the military.
He's no in it now.
I'm just keeping you up to date, you guys, and, you know.
I'd love to get letters after my name before you guys.
Oh, we've got one of these in the Premiership.
Oh. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. You could tell it was getting quiet, the road we were going down there. Thankfully, we have a goal to save us. St Mirren 1, Livingston 0. It could be a Mikael Mandron goal, maybe a Sean Kelly own goal as well. Sort of conflicting reports, but either way, St Mirren 1-0 up against Livingston.
And the possibility now of Livy going 6 games in a row, having lost every one of them. St Mirren staying third in the league if it stays this way. But the Livy just seemed to be having that kind of season where, you know, when you need a bit of luck, it's a known goal that puts you behind. But second half to come, see if they can get out of it.
I think they're running out of lives, Hugh.
Yeah,
I really do. He's done a terrific job there. He's had to fight every season, loses his best players, have to bring in players in a small budget. I don't think they pay the greatest wages. But this season, there's a feeling about it that they're starting to run out of lives.
When you lose 6 games on the bounce, it may not happen, but when you lose 6 games on the bounce, the red flag is showing.
It's actually not that uncommon for Livingston, though. See, if you go back through most of their seasons, they will have a run of 10, 11, 12 games where they barely win.
Remember
and
that
still,
season?
Still
yeah.
manage. But it happens pretty much every season. See, if you go back and look, Livingston always have one period of the season where they can't buy a win and then end up staying up. Look, this season may be different, but, you know, it's certainly not the type of thing that David Martindale will be panicking about, I would have thought.
Daz makes a good point there, though, about losing their best players and then not paying the best. I think that then catches up with you. When that goes over a spell or 5 or 6 seasons, and you're maybe surviving season to season because you've still got some quality in there, but the more it gets watered down, there's always going to come a point where in your recruitment you're getting substandard players to keep you in the Premiership. And we may just have hit that point for Livy. They may prove us wrong again, but on recent evidence, I'm not seeing many players who can drag them out of this hole in that squad. And in January, are they going to go into the transfer window and spend a few quid to get more in to help them survive? I don't really think so. It might be free transfers or loans they get. They're not going to spend much money. Could be in trouble.
Might be able to eventually sell Joel Nubley to fund some transfers.
I mean, that just struck a desperation, trying to get one of your players out and drumming up as much interest as possible. But maybe that transfer would have paid for you know, services in other areas that David Martindale needed, but it didn't happen. So you leave yourself short over the pitch. So they're struggling. And when you're up against St Mirren, you're 1-0 down. St Mirren's home form, you only expect that to go one way.
Joe Hart with a save from a Harry Payton shot as well. Motherwell certainly growing into this game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll be concerned.
Encouraged. Motherwell will be encouraged, Hugh.
Yeah, they'll be concerned inside Celtic Park. You know, the Celtic supporters have seen this movie before. You know, St Johnstone get a draw at Celtic Park.
Yeah.
At a time when they couldn't get a point anywhere else. It would be an astounding blunder if Celtic were not to win at home today. It would hand Philippe Clement a very big boost ahead of the game at Pittodrie tomorrow. They are clearly not showing enough imagination, guile, call it what you will, to get themselves in front against Motherwell.
The only thing I would say, Hugh, still a long, long way to go at Celtic.
Well,
Park.
I'm sure you said that on the day that it was Celtic. Okay,
okay, okay.
But then it's also been said on other days where Celtic have gone on to score four or five.
Four years ago, Hugh's been saying this, and he got to St Johnstone, he still brings that up.
I'm talking about this season.
Okay, once this season.
Jonah Yunga, close for a goal-scoring return for him. That one coming off the bar. What, I mean, that would be some feeling for him, wouldn't it? Out since January, been able to get a goal in his return today. Not quite. Stephen O'Donnell has been booked as well at Celtic Park. Looks as if it may be for time-wasting.
You know, inevitably, people will come on at 5 o'clock and say, oh, Motherwell, it is grace, time-wasting. You know,
for time-wasting. Well, we're at 40 minutes or something.
Yeah. Listen, time wasting to get to half time, Mark.
That's
yeah.
it.
You know, I'd be doing the exact same myself.
Yeah. I mean, referees and officials are sort of more switched on to it these days, or they're told to be more alert. Not as much up here as down south. You see the you know, the injury time you get in the English Premier League, for example. But certainly, it's something that referees take more notice of.
And I'm quite sure that the game at Celtic Park will run to 97, 98 minutes. But Motherwell are bang up against it. No wins in nine, playing a team who beat Aberdeen 6-0 in the game before the international break. Of course they're going to waste time, as Gordon Dale said, just to get them to half time. If they get to half time 0-0, but it's a waste of time, people coming on and complaining about it, because they've got nothing compared to what Celtic have at their disposal, and they're trying whatever they can to get over the line and get out of there with a point, or maybe all three.
Andrew, how long have we got in the teaser?
Not long to go at all. The podium is, we're just getting the podium together. So you still got a few.
I think we're
we'll need to wrap it up soon.
Yeah, I think we're a couple short.
Will we give it a quick
good
mention?
Day for Partick Thistle, 2-0 up against Queen's Park. Aidan Fitzpatrick with the goal.
Yes, good afternoon. Yeah, like that.
To build on that win last night.
Oh, that was a convincing win last night, yeah.
What was that, 4-1?
4-1, yeah. Under-18s. Big cup game, so yeah, all good.
Quick reminder of the first half teaser. Yes. Since the beginning of the Scottish Premiership in 2013, 8 players have scored 40 league goals or more, and they're all still active in the Premiership. Who are they?
Remember, 2013 is the date you're going back to. That's when the Scottish Premiership, the rebrand, took place. So there are some answers of players that had scored goals before them. The likes of Jamie Murphy I've seen mentioned. He's not one of them because of that stipulation, and obviously playing in the Championship now as well. Tony Watt as well, seen some shouts for him. Of course, he's also playing in the Championship, so he doesn't count either. How many of you two got?
Well, I think we'll get 7.
Blair Spittle with a free kick. That one goes over the bar, but it'll be promising signs going into half time for some of the Motherwell fans. I tell you what, we are closing in on half time in quite a few games. I think we've already got one actually at the Global Energy Stadium, Ross County against Kilmarnock. Half time, Dave Galloway.
Yeah, half time, Andrew. No goals to report. Ross County started very brightly and took control early on against Kilmarnock. Jan Danda whipped the ball right across the goal mouth in the opening seconds, but found no take as James Brown's shot was cleared off the line after Danda's cutback, and Will Dennis saved well from Scott Allardyce's dinked effort. But Kilmarnock started to get more into the game and they very nearly went in front. Danny Armstrong played a neat 1-2 and his deflected drive forced a brilliant reaction save from Ross Laidlaw. Jan Danda has looked the most impressive player on the park in the first half. He saw his shot turned round the post by Will Dennis after. That was another good save by the visiting keeper. The game had overall, though, become a bit more even and the chances kind of dried up a little bit with both sides cancelling each other out. But then, as half-time beckoned, County went close once again. Conor Randall made space for himself in the box. His shot looked net-bound, but there were a couple of Killy defenders on the line, managed to get their bodies in the way of it. It's been a decent first half. It just needs a goal, though. Half-time, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 0.
Yeah, no more half-times as of yet, so let's wrap this up, Hugh.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have to tell you that Ant and Dec got all 8.
Yes.
So you're under pressure here. Since the beginning of the Scottish Premiership in 2013, 8 players have scored 40 league goals or more and are all still active in the Premiership. They are James Tavernier, Liam Boyce, James Forrest, Stevie May, Eamon Brophy, Kyogo Furuhashi, David Turnbull and Callum McGregor.
Yes, and you two can have a joint spot on the podium because there is only 2 others that got it.
Seriously?
Out there. In second place was Blue Nose 139, but in first place, quickest off the mark, was Scott Connie. So well done to you, Scott. But the half times are now rolling in. Let's go to Dens Park. Roger Hanna.
Yeah, it's Dundee 0, Hibernian 1 at the break, Andrew. This might be the day Gio Tavares' Hibernian rebuff is complete. He has scored the only goal of the first half at the end of a week where he admitted to his frustrations under former manager Lee Johnson and thanked current manager Nick Montgomery for giving him a second chance with the club. He was a bright spark very early on. He reached the byline after just 13 minutes, cut the ball back for Josh Campbell, but he fired over the top. Dundee threatened at the other end a couple of minutes later. Amadou Bakayoko volleying over the top after Ricky Lamy had headed the ball over the top towards the Sierra Leone striker. But then Hibs took the lead in 16 minutes. A terrific team goal. Tavares breaking down the left away from Malachi Boateng. He fed the ball to Dylan Venta. He played it into Josh Campbell, who then reversed the pass back into the path of Tavares to shoot low past Trevor Carson for the opening goal. Dundee's response was good and it became a contest between Luke McCown and the Hibs goalkeeper David Marshall. Tavares giving the ball away in his own half. Bakayoko seized and it, he fed McCown and an angled shot brilliantly tipped round the post by the former Scotland goalkeeper after 22 minutes. From that corner the ball broke to McCown on the edge of the box and again Marshall saving his 20 yard effort. And then in 26 minutes a third save from Marshall to deny McCown. This time the midfielder charging into the box, but he just got the ball stuck under his feet and couldn't get a proper connection. Marshall managing to extend the hand and push it away, getting feisty just before the break. Lewis Miller booked for a late challenge on Owen Beck, and then Beck had his name taken as well for a foul on Josh Campbell. Plenty to play for. Tavares the star man at that break at the Scott Foam Stadium. Dundee 0, Hibs 1.
It's also half time at Tynecastle. Michelle Evans.
Yep, it is Hearts 0, St Johnstone 0. And I said before this game that this could be an interesting encounter, and I have to admit I lied. There's been plenty of effort, but no goals here. It was Hearts who piled on the early pressure from kickoff with Alex Lowry and Alex Cochran, both testing Dimitar Mitov's ability and goal within the first 2 minutes. The Bulgarian had little time to recover when more home pressure saw him dive athletically across his goal mouth to deny Alex Cochran effort before he turned a Liam Boyce header round his left-hand post, and that was all within the first 7 minutes. St Johnstone were certainly shown plenty of fight as they tried to stem the flow. When they did manage to work their way up the park at the other end, up the other end of the park in the 23rd minute, Luke Robinson had a go at close range, only for his effort to hit off a startled Xandra Clark. The Jumbo's goalie was taken by surprise again in the 27th minute when Matthew Smith broke up the park, unleashing a long-range shot that ended up in the side netting. After that, well, nothing else of note to report in what has been, dare I say, a very, very flat first half, apart from those few early sparks. I did hear Hugh mentioning in the half-time, the first half teaser rather, that Stephen May and Liam Boyce were both known for their goal scoring prowess since the rebranding of the league. I wish they would hurry up and get some goals here because it is freezing and we all need something to heat us up. But at the moment, there's no goals. It's Hearts 0, St Johnstone 0.
Half time at Celtic Park as well. David Friel has the story.
Half time, Andrew. Celtic 0, Motherwell 0. Plenty of frustration for Celtic, plenty of encouragement for Motherwell, who are making a real game of this. Celtic have dominated with about 80% possession, but they haven't tested Liam Kelly anywhere near enough for all the ball they've had. I'd be amazed if David Turnbull isn't sent on for the second half to add more of a goal threat. Obviously, Odin Holm got the nod ahead of him, but he's been pretty much anonymous. And I think Turnbull will play a big part in this second half. Celtic, I said, dominated, they have had chances. Mattarelli, the first one in 8 minutes. Lewis Palmer has seen so much of the ball. He combined with Greg Taylor on the left, picked out O'Reilly, but his first time shot was palmed away by Liam Kelly. Celtic kept probing, they kept pressing, they forced corners, they got it wide. Yang saw a lot of the ball too. So many crosses in the box at Motherwell have been really organised, compact, they've defended their box really, really well. There were half chances for Celtic. Greg Taylor had one block, Callum McGregor also had a shot block. But the best Celtic effort of the first half actually came from Motherwell right back Stephen O'Donnell, who almost scored an own goal midway through the first half. Lewis Palmer's corner was flicked on by the fullback. Liam Kelly had to make an unbelievable save to claw it away from the top corner. Motherwell's game plan, as expected, was based in defending, but they did carry a threat. They had two great chances in 35 minutes and a couple of seconds between them. Joe Hart came out for a long ball, it was caught in no man's land. Stephen O'Donnell, the ball fell to him, he tried to lob Hart. Cameron Carter-Vickers had covered well, he cleared the ball, but that then fell to Dan Casey. He had all the time in the world but fired over the bar. Hart then made another save from Harry Payton before half time as Motherwell pressed and forced a couple of corners. Brendan Rodgers, he doesn't look a happy man, he'll be expecting a lot better in the second half, but it's so far so good for Stuart Kettlewell and Motherwell. Half time, Celtic 0, Motherwell 0.
And finally, half time in Paisley, Lindsay Heron.
Yeah, half-time here, Andrew. St Mirren 1, Livingston 0. And looks like normal service resumed here in Paisley for Stephen Robinson's side. But my goodness, Livingston must wonder what's going to happen to them this campaign. They started this match so well, really took the game to St Mirren, really lobbing a lot of crosses into the penalty area. Bruce Anderson might have scored in just 6 minutes when the ball dropped to him on the edge of the area, but shot over the top. And Michael Nottingham had a header off the bar after Sean Kelly's corner was whipped in from the right-hand side. St Mirren really not looking too clever at that stage, not really involved in the game, but all of a sudden he came to life. And Greg Kilty was the man who inspired it all on the left-hand side. He'd been working pretty well in that area. Then his ball in 38 minutes wasn't properly cleared. Mika Mandron and Nottingham slid in together to try and win it. The ball ended up in the back of the net. Mandron claiming it as his seventh of the season, but it might have been an OG, which would just put the tin lid on it for Livingston at the moment. A couple of minutes later, Oyunga headed just off the top of the crossbar. And what a comeback that would have been for the big striker, having been out since January. And Saints were really finishing the first half with a flourish. They're looking really pretty good here at the moment. Good for the 3 points, and the misery looks to continue for Livingston. Half-time in Paisley. St Mirren 1, Livingston 0.
We'll give you a full roundup of the halftime scores next. The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Halftime scores in the Scottish Premiership: Celtic 0, Motherwell 0, Dundee 0, Hibernian 1, Hearts 0, St Johnstone 0, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 0, St Mirren 1, Livingston 0. There is plenty of Scottish Cup third round action as well. I'll give you some of the highlights from the first half. Annan 0, Dumbarton 2, Brora Rangers 1, Pollock 0, Cumnock Juniors 0, Broomhill 1, Dunbar United 1, Alloa Athletic 2, Falkirk 3-0 up against Fairmartin United. It's Morton 1, Bowness United 0, Partick Thistle 2, Queen's Park 0, Queen of the South 1, Dundee United 1, Spartans 1, Arbroath 0, Stirling Albion 0, Cove Rangers 1, Stranraer 0, Airdrieonians 1. We'll give you the second halves up next.